Okay, we're going to begin this seminar on helping students with placement for future development and ministry after they graduate. I'm John Hawkins. I'm the college pastor at Hope Baptist in Fort Worth. This is Linda Cole. She's on staff here at the OUBSU. And this is Bob Anderson from K-State. It's a very important topic we've got today because we are going to be talking about how to preserve the fruit of your labor with the students that you build into, the ones that you help them come to Christ and help them get rolling, and then what's going to happen to them after graduation so that the processes that have been begun in their life will continue going. The way we're going to do this is Bob's going to share a little bit with you at first, and then Linda's going to share a few ideas, and then I'm going to do the wrap-up, and we're going to have some time at the end for questions. If you want to interrupt us and clarify something or ask a question while we're talking, that'd be fine. Or if you want to wait to the end, you can ask your questions then. Our goal is not to fill the time. If we get through early, that's fine with us. We can go eat some more strawberries. Our goal is to be helpful. And if we're out in the wild blue yonder somewhere, then you just stop us and say, why don't we get practical, and you say something that's going to be helpful. So we really want to help you. Okay, so first Bob's going to share with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and let me just say that in our situation at Kansas State, the community is not big enough to really hold people in the job market. Occasionally, we'll find someone that has a teaching job or certainly wants to go on and get a master's or doctorate degree. Occasionally, someone will stay just to want to help our ministry, but the job market is not big enough to hold a lot of people there like it would be at some schools where there's a large city nearby. So, you know, we're always sending people out, and through the years, we've had just dozens and dozens, probably hundreds by now, that have gone out all over the country and all over the world. And a couple of things I wanted to mention this morning. One is that to help students, you've got to see it as more than just a four-year job. You've got to be committed to them for their whole life. And I have dear friends, some of my very closest friends that I met 19 years ago at Kansas State. One fellow in particular, John Sapp and Priscilla, who's our missionaries in Africa, I have a stack of letters that I have received from him that's about 2 inches thick. I probably received 300 or 400 letters from him since he left K-State. They left in, 79 or so. And he has that many letters that he has received from me. And probably averaged a letter every week to 2 weeks over the last 12 or 13 years. And but that has been a commitment that I've decided to make to alums, that I want to continue to be a part of their lives. It's not just sending them through a program and saying goodbye to them. And so that's just a decision that my wife and I made, that we want to continue to be a part in our alums' lives. Some, obviously, we're closer to than others. I don't write every alum every 2 weeks, okay? Some God does give us that special burden to keep up with. But that's one thing I wanted to share. Another thing I wanted to share that goes along with that is that you have to be committed to maintaining current address list. And that is really tough. Alumni move very quickly and often. We got a computer a few years ago, and my wife is really good on it, and she gives a good chunk of time very consistently updating our address file. And you can't let that slide. I have a colleague that lives near us that's in campus ministry, and he has to raise a good portion of his salary, and he had never thought about trying to raise some finances from alums. And I said, why not? He says, I don't know where they are. He's never thought about maintaining an accurate address list. I thought, man, that's where I start. And so I kind of helped him get going on that. And that takes work and effort. If you're not good at it, find someone that is, that would enjoy doing that. And then, of course, to springboard off of an address, a good accurate address list is maintaining contact with them. I'm not as good at sending out newsletters and prayer letters as I would like to. I maintain really good contact with our supporters that help us financially, but we like to at least every 3 months or so send out a good newsletter, prayer letter, just to all of our alums. And our address list is, goodness, probably 400 or so by now. And some of them we've lost touch with, but we've kept up with a lot of them. So those are just a couple of introduction things. This doesn't talk about placement of alums. I'm talking about more about your attitude toward them. And I think it really begins with that. And I think I'll pass it along right now. I have a couple other things to say later. But
love to have that.
Okay. Well, I remember one year when I was at OU, there was this girl who was real sharp. She had a real strong walk with the Lord. There were girls around because of her life. And as she was contemplating where to leave, she decided to go to a new ministry that was starting that we felt real good about. And she went out and she did real good for a couple of years, really contributed, really added, really continued to grow. But in a few years, the girl really started to move away from the Lord. Her walk with the Lord was okay, but just some of the fire was gone. And today, her being a part of the Great Commission really is not in her life at all. And her walk with the Lord is okay. And that may change tomorrow. God may change that. But, you know, when I look at, she had a lot of potential, and it seemed like she really was going to make an impact, and she didn't. And that has just been one of the disappointments for me working with students, is to really give my life to people for 4 years or for a couple of years, depending on how long I know them, to pray for them and plan for them and thank for them, and then they go out with some potential and don't fulfill that. And one of the things Bob was saying is it really isn't just a commitment while they're in college, but it really is a lifelong commitment. And also to realize that, I guess there have been times that I've thought they're going to get everything they could possibly need in college, but of course they don't. And so one of the things I really try to do is when they're nearing graduation is they have a lot of hopes, goals, plans, dreams, but probably they haven't thought a lot about how their walk with the Lord is going to develop or how they're going to continue to be a part of the Great Commission. And probably nobody else in their life is going to help them think through, now where I plant my life may determine how my walk with the Lord is going to, what it's going to look like in about 5 years, and if I am going to continue to be a laborer or to move that direction. And I've heard a pastor say that people should give about the first 30 years of their life for training. And so I really encourage people to think through, where can you go to give, but also to continue to establish what you've learned. So I try to help them think through that. If you want to be at this place in 30 years, what do you need to be doing the next couple of years to move that direction? And there are a few ministries that we encourage people to at least look at. We want to look at ministries that from the leadership is really encouraging everyone to be involved in ministry, either inside the church or outside the church. We want a ministry where adults are coming to know the Lord, where godliness seems to be a characteristic of that ministry. And we ask, what is that ministry emphasizing? And are people's walks with the Lord, are those being encouraged and being strengthened? And we try to bring people in from those ministries, leaders, or go on trips so they can get to know the people in that area, so that at least they're thinking, aha, this might be a place I could plug into. I have in the past encouraged people to pursue a place first and then look for a job. That, I think, probably will become less and less of an option. but to at least begin thinking, where can I plug into? And I'm not just thinking of churches. I know some there's some places that have really good small groups, really good Bible studies. There are a couple in Oklahoma City that really study the Bible, and then there's a real encouragement to reach out to people, to reach out to non-Christians and to bring them in. But some kind of small group that will help them continue to move on. I've heard older laymen say that to be in a small group that will ask them hard questions, they have to have that or they will not continue on. So to try to help, if there's a place they need to move to that maybe doesn't have a real strong church, that maybe there's some small groups there that they could plug into. Every spring we take a trip to Hope Baptist Church because they will, for our seniors, because they help our seniors think through what is the transition going to be like from college to a job market. And it's not so they can go to Hope, that's not really the emphasis, but just they help the students think through the transition. But if we didn't do that, probably what we'd do is have a weekend seminar where we would just put together for our students different things to be thinking through, different things to look for when they graduate. And then what I try to do is, as they make their decision, if I know people in that area, try to hook them up with our students. So at least there are a couple people who know, hey, somebody new is coming. They need some encouragement. Take some initiative with them. Help them if they can find roommates, a place to live, even in the job market. And it seems like what I've tried to do is keep in good contact with them for about 9 months to really see how things are coming. They don't know people real well at the new place a lot of times, and how is the transition going? Philosophy of ministry may be different, leadership styles may be different, the organization may be different, and how can I help that person make a healthy transition into their new place? One of the girls that was at OU that also had a real strong walk with the Lord and really was helping girls went to a new ministry, and she was a leader in the BSU, got a lot of status from that, and really liked that status. Well, she moved to this new place, and she wasn't a leader. People didn't know her. She didn't have status. She, you know, in a BSU, you have people who are over you, who are praying for you and planning for you. You move to a church, and a lot of times they're not going to have that individual attention. So they really are beginning to be out on their own. And then just the transition, the loneliness, not having friends. In a college, you have a lot of, it's easy to make friends because that's kind of the atmosphere of the college. It's easy for people to talk about spiritual things, and you have a lot more discretionary time. And now they've moved to the workforce, and just that's totally different. People don't have time to develop friendships or care about it. They don't want to particularly talk about God a lot of times. And just all of that that she was dealing with. And she had a real hard 2 years. But she really did pull through it and really made some right choices, and right now really is being effective where she is. And I think the difference between her and the first girl is that both places they went were good, good places. And we really thought highly of it. But for the individual person, the first place just wasn't good for the first person. And I think especially this is true more for girls. Girls need a place where they can get more emotional support, and that they're not out so much, they're out on their own. But they need people that really will stand by them and really help them make a transition. I try to get them to, in their attitudes, to think, man, I'm going to go to give and not get. I'm going to go to serve. Go to not try to change the ministry, but to try to fit into it and try to contribute and learn, to go to be a learner. And then also to not verbally compare the new ministry with the old ministry. Well, we always did it this way, or what are you doing it like this for? They may have some of those questions, but not to demoralize the new ministry by bringing those up to those people, but maybe talk about that with people where they came from, so they can get a different perspective on it.
If you would, pull out this little sheet. I want us to just look at a few things on it. Especially appreciate what Bob said about having a continuing commitment to your alums. Our ministry at Hope has over the years generally been a smaller kind of ministry, and one of the things I can do that you who have ministered to thousands can't do is I have the names of the alums that I feel like we have really had an influence in their lives. I have all of them written on the back of this little card, and every day I read out their names to God, try to, and here are the things I pray for them. I pray that God will give them perseverance and an uncompromising willingness to live with hardship if necessary. I pray for commitment to evangelism and discipleship. I pray for God's blessing to touch hundreds of lives. I pray that they'd have peace with God and that they'd have God-centered marriages. And that's a way that the Lord's allowed me to keep praying for them, even though they're not with us. On this little sheet, I just jotted down a few ideas. In your college ministry, if 10 years after they graduate, they look back at the BSU as the glory days, then that's sad. That's real sad. Because what you want them to do is see those BSU days as the training ground for the rest of their lives, where they caught hold of the adventure of walking with Jesus and got in the process of being His disciple and helping to make disciple makers. And what we're talking about today is preserving the fruit of that labor, how to help it keep on going. Max has said, and other men who have been in college ministry a lot longer than I have, that the students that we deal with today, we're able to do less with them than we were, say, 10 or 15 years ago when some of us started in this. The reason is, 10 or 15 years ago, they'd come in and there was still enough of a Christian mindset in our society that they'd kind of start at ground zero. We'd kind of go from there. Anymore, we start at like minus 15 when they come as freshmen. You know, students saying things like, I'd like to become a Christian, but I still can't figure out where Jesus fits in. You know, and it takes a lot longer to help move those students to where they're able to sustain themselves in the Lord and in walking with Him. So when they graduate out of your ministry, they still need some help. They still need some encouragement, some support, some structure, a place that they can be helped on along. And so some of us have been thinking for a while about this just in terms of helping to place them. They're on their number two, determining their needs, and thinking about where you would want to at least expose them to that they may choose to go. You'd want to think through what they need. Is it someone that's still kind of struggling through getting the basics down? Well, then they would want to go to a ministry that could really help them with that and have some structure and some support there. Or are they more on the end where they're already leading people to Christ and discipling? They're squared away with Jesus, basically. And what they're needing is a place where they can just be encouraged to just go after it and to continue to grow as a leader. So determining their needs and then beginning to think through of places they could go. There are places like Hope or OU or Gene Ward's ministry in Oklahoma City or some of the churches out in the Los Angeles area are a lot of different places where they would like the responsibility of having some of your students to come and to plug in and to be a part. One of the ways that you can find these places is just ask people. You know, ask people that are in student ministry, where are some places you know of that some students have gone and they've really flourished, has really been good for them? Because in our churches, a lot of times, I wrote down what they sometimes get. Sometimes they go to churches and it's just nice people getting nicer. You know, they're nice people and they just get nicer and nicer as the years go on. But that's about all they get, nice people getting nicer. And then sometimes they go to churches that are majoring on the minors. You know, they're into some stuff, but in terms of walking with the Lord, knowing Him, and being involved in changing the world for Christ, that's kind of been put on the shelf for some of these minor kind of issues. Or sometimes they'll go to see churches and they're, I wrote down, busy, busy, busy. Man, they'll get these students in the system and they'll run them from sun up to sun down. They're busy, but they may not really be being encouraged to walk with the Lord and being involved in ministry. Or sometimes they'll plug into churches that are kind of a monument to a glorious past. It was a church, and you see a lot of these churches in California, you know, the old kind of churches out there, where back in the 50s they were burning the woods down. And they get plugged in it, and yet now the life's kind of gone. And so what we're talking about is how to get them around some churches, some ministries that'll keep fanning those flames. Keep it going. If possible, and Linda mentioned this, if possible, it's good to get your students around places like this even before their senior year, so they can already begin to get a category. Man, that might be somewhere I might want to go. Neil Walker brought some students from USC to Hope, and then they came up to OU at spring break. And he told me, I guess it was last night, that one of them told him that he's applying for a job in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we never recruited him. We don't recruit students. In fact, OU students sometimes get offended. They come to Fort Worth and we don't recruit them, because we really don't. But they see there one church that is going on with the Lord. There's lots of problems, but we're going on with the Lord. And they get excited about that, and they want to be a part of that. So if possible, get your students to places like this early, like freshman, sophomore, junior year, so that then as they're beginning to put together a resume, they're beginning to think about a job, they can have some categories of places. Take a vision trip there or summer mission experience. One of our students is out working with a church in Los Angeles this summer. And that's going to help her to get the concept of what God's doing out there. Maybe a place she'll plug in. Then I put down there number 5, helping students with the decision-making process. The thing that you want with this is you want it to be their decision, and you want it to be done in the presence of the Lord God. You don't want them to feel recruited so much by the ministry out there. You don't want them pushed by you. You want them to go to that church or that ministry knowing that God has said, this is where I need to plug in. Because they're going to have some expectations about it's all going to be hunky-dory and, you know, this is going to be like heaven on earth. And it's not going to be like that. And so when they're dealing with the rough side of having plugged into this ministry, they're going to want to know that God's the one. God's the one who sent me here. You know, John helped or whoever helped, but it's God who called me here. Then I put encourage them to go as a servant. We tell that to the students who come for our conferences that we put on for students. Wherever you go, whether it's Hope or whatever, don't come to get, come to give. A lot of times seminary students will come up to our pastor and say, Harold, while I'm here at Hope, I want to get everything I can get. And he'll say, you know, that's the same attitude a bank robber has. I want to get everything I can get. And you want to send them to these ministries with the attitude of, I want to give. Because it's in giving that we receive. You want to send them to that. Help them make responsible decisions. And like Linda said, Max, I know especially, has said, go to the ministry and then find a job. And you know, we're getting to where that's going to be tougher with a lot of the defense contractors not having as lucrative employment as they used to. But we do want students to make a responsible decision where they go to where there's a real vital ministry and where also they can be gainfully employed. We want them to be responsible in it with their finances. And we want to help them in their decision with their parents. A lot of times parents will get pretty at loggerheads about this whole deal because they want them to come back to wherever, and they're talking about going to Los Angeles. And there's ways that students can relate to their parents. They'll help bring everybody along in the process. And you want to help your students not to get into some kind of loyalty conflict with their parents on an issue like this. Then, number 6, you want to keep in touch with them. Because like Linda said, you can have a good student go to a good ministry and get burned out because it just doesn't fit for some reason. And you want to stay in touch with them for that kind of the transition period, just to make sure they're doing okay, they're plugging in. Now I wrote down a few things, and I'm going to give this thing to Bob, about where to send them, what would be some criterion. The best criterion is ask somebody that you respect, where have you sent some students and they flourished? That's one of the best. But I wrote down a few things here. You need to have confidence in them doctrinally, that every 6 months they're not into a new phase of something. You know, they're pretty consistent with the Bible's teachings. You want to have confidence in the methods they use in ministry, They don't have to be identical. In fact, they won't be identical to your BSU. But you need, you know, if all they're doing is taping $5 bills under the bus, the kids will get on every Sunday and maybe get the $5 bill under their seat. Well, you might not get real into that kind of methods. You know, you want to find out what kind of methods they're using in ministry and make sure you have some confidence in that, because you know. Then evangelistically fruitful, you want to make sure they're actually coming up with the goods. And then just their treatment of people. Do they value people? You know, part of being a disciple is you're going to get used. You know, that's the whole idea, we're going to get used. But are they just out to use people, or are they out to bless them? Are they out to help them? And again, it doesn't mean it has to be identical to yours, and it won't. You want them to have produced people that you'd like for your alums to become like. Again, what we're talking about here is preserving what the Lord has caused to happen in your students. And to me, it's a very serious business. Because you don't, you know, these people that you've given the Lord Jesus to and you've given your life's ministry to, you don't want to just kind of be, you know, well, you can go wherever you want, you know, hope it goes well for you, be warm and filled. You want to bless them. You want to help them along. Now, I think Bob wants to say a couple more things, and then we're going to see if there's any questions, and then we're out of here.
Well, I just wanted to mention one thing we did this past year. It was one of the best things we did all last year. We had a weekend seminar where those that are graduating or will soon to graduate or those in grad school were invited, and also newly graduated students who have been out a year. We brought them into Manhattan, and we brought in two couples who are really walking with God that are lay couples. One couple met in the BSU. Stan and Cynthia Sheldon were married and are up in Chicago. He's an architect. She's a school teacher in the inner city of Chicago. And so they came back, and then another couple lives in Manhattan, Lynn and Jean Rundle. He's a businessman with Kansas Farm Bureau. She's a homemaker. And so they led the retreat in talking about how it was going away, leaving the BSU, and making it out in the real world. And I'll tell you, it was really excellent. We had a great time. And they just, you know, they don't do a lot of public speaking. They were just honest. They talked about their marriage. They talked about getting into a church. They talked about trying to reach people on their job. And it was so real. It wasn't a formal polished seminar. And the kids loved it. And we probably won't do that every year, but probably every other year we're going to do that. We had about 30 people involved in it, and just was a good, good time. And that one more thing I wanted to mention. In the middle of Kansas, you know, there's not a lot of really great churches. I'm not sure where this tape is going, but... you know, we're a long way from Hope Baptist. We're a long way from San Francisco. And, you know, each ministry has kind of a different message, I think, to the body of Christ, okay? We haven't done a lot of sending people to really high-profile, sharp, ongoing disciple-making churches. We've had a few go that way, but a lot of our alums have gone back into Lincoln, Kansas, Colby, Kansas, and are really walking with God, become youth ministers a lot of times as lay people, disciple makers in these smaller communities, and, you know, that's okay. So, you know, and you need to kind of evaluate, you know, what your ministry is. What message does God have for you to the body of Christ? And if your kids are maybe just where they came from, maybe they're, you know, to go to Fort Worth or Dallas is just too big a leap from them. Maybe that's, you know, that's okay. If they can raise disciples and walk with God in some little old church that, you know, the people just kind of love God, but they're just local people, well, boy, that may be a tremendous message to the faithfulness of God. So don't be discouraged if, you know, you're not able to rally a bunch of people to big mission trips and all that. We've done it kind of both ways, and it kind of depends on what year it is, on the number of kids that are open to that kind of stuff. But we have, I got a letter just the other day from a dear couple that met, fell in love in the BSU, and are married, and this gal wrote about a 4-page letter on what God was doing in this little old dinky town in the middle of Kansas. That, you know, the highest point in town is the grain elevator. But they were teaching these youth and seeing some come to Christ, and he was a deacon in the church. And I thought, wow, that's neat. So, you know, hang in there. If you don't have a bunch of people moving to a big growing church in San Francisco, well, you know, God's place for them may be a little farm community in the middle of Kansas or Iowa or Nebraska.
That's right. And you'll probably have a mixture, you know, where you'll have maybe a few over the years that go more to these, like Fort Worth or Los Angeles or San Francisco or somewhere. And then you'll have some that stay more in the area. Your goal, again, is that they flourish. They're walking with the Lord, and they're continuing to help people come to know Jesus and to walk in it. And that's the goal, and they need, you know, we need people everywhere. John Worcester is sitting right back there. John's a church planter of several different places, but right now he's replanting one church and planting a church in San Francisco. And they've got some exciting things going on back there. If you'd like to find out about what they're doing in terms of students, at least visiting, and then maybe some of them plugging in there. You might talk to John. And then Thad King, he's working with a church in the valley in Diamond Bar, California. And they have been very successful at reaching non-Christian businessmen. And that's where one of our students is this summer, is out at the church that Randy and Thad are with. Are there any questions that any of you have? Yes?
This isn't really a question, it's more of a thought.
Okay.
I know one thing that would help us in our ministry and would be, I think, an encouragement for some people that are graduating and maybe going on to graduate school is, if they could network and go to some of these schools where you have some ministries going on where they can go ahead and do their graduate education and yet be tied into a ministry as well. And some of these schools, they all have their strengths and so forth, but sometimes it boils down to 3 or 4 schools where they're comparable. And, you know, if they pick one where there was a ministry going on, it might, be a real blessing.
Yeah, that'd be good. Helping to place them in ministries in graduate school. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to mention for the purpose of the tape, if you could kind of reword what they said.
Okay. What the brother just said was that he was talking about how when students go into graduate school, if we can help or encourage them towards campuses that have effective BSU ministries or other kinds of ministries, even though they're still in school, they can get some cross-training through that.
I think another great help would be, this would be a lot of work for someone, to pick together a composite of locations where graduating people are welcome. I know they're welcome at Hope, and there's some places out in California, but I only know, 3 or 4, but maybe a little paragraph and who to contact and kind of what the setting is. And, I don't know who would do it, but I think that would be a great help to our campuses to have that available.
What are you going to say?
I had a question concerning a situation like what Bob brought out here with people graduating, going back to maybe a smaller town, mm-hmm. their job takes them. What activities or what have any of you done in helping to encourage and motivate those people to hang with it? Because that's the hardest part I found in the past 4 years being involved in a church ministry is you don't have the motivation from a BSU staff, so you have to somehow drum up your own motivation to be out there ministering to people, to sharing your faith. You don't have somebody checking you on your verses unless you find somebody that you can be accountable with. I was just wondering whether there's some activities or anything that any of you have done in helping a person. I think of several friends of college that are smaller towns, basically by themselves and involved in a church, but that their vision for the type of ministry they do can begin to subside a little bit.
Yes. How do you help keep them motivated after they graduate, and especially maybe move into a church that's not really encouraging them in those things?
We have occasional alumni get-togethers, not often. We've been at Kansas State so long now, 19 years, that the old ones don't know the new ones, but we get together. Three or four years ago, we had a big alumni thing in Kansas City area for kids in that area, bringing them back together. I have a big, long prayer list, and I pray for them, and as I mentioned, I correspond with them. But it is hard. I mean, there's no easy formula for that. And the longer you are in a location, the tougher it gets, because the kids, you know, there's more scattered and the ages are different. Your first two or three years, it's not that hard, because you got maybe one couple in this town and a couple singles over here, and that's about it. But, you know, after you've been somewhere years and years, just keeping their current address list is a major challenge. It is hard. Someone else may have an idea.
I once asked a kind of spiritual mentor of mine about that, and he said basically he's found two things. One is to get them involved in some type of a small group of like-hearted people. You know, just whatever you have to do to get them together, and where you can challenge and encourage each other. And then also read books. You know, stay on the cutting edge by reading some good books. So, I mean, those are two things that just kind of help with.
Okay, so getting them in a small group of like-hearted people and reading. That's good. John?
I'm just curious. Do the students tend to, if they're coming through, they've been in a really involvement, they tend to, it's kind of left on their own, to want to go back to the small town, you know, kind of situation, their roots? I guess what I'm saying, that I know I have that sort of that homing instinct when I go back to Ohio, and you know, I'm used to that kind of stuff. Yeah. But when Harold and people like that painted a bigger vision, a bigger picture where I could plant my life and do some things and maybe go to stuff for a while, that kind of opened the door for me to try something different. So I saw the big picture I was willing to go through. I'm just wondering how, if that's a common experience with guys wanting to go back out, and if we're going to get them to go to the cities, to the major metropolitan areas, you know, near other universities where they can be a part of the church, do we have to really put the vision out there, or they won't even have tracks to run to go towards that?
Okay. Do they tend to go back to what's familiar, or do they?
Yeah.
Are they pretty open to go to?
Yeah. And how much do you need to paint the vision, a vision for that ahead of time to get them to go to something else, even to open up that as a possibility for them to go?
Okay, Linda.
Thanks. Would you repeat the question?
Okay, the question. As I understand it, the question had to do with our students. Are they oriented more to going back to what's familiar, back to their homeland, or are they pretty open to going into new situations, maybe major urban areas? Do we have to paint the vision and more or less recruit them to the vision, or do they orient around it pretty naturally? Is that right, John? Close enough.
This is just totally from my perspective. I'm not trying to get people to go to major places, but basically what John said, where can they go that they really can continue to walk with the Lord and plug into the Great Commission somehow? If they have thoughts that they want to really be involved in missions, then there's some specific places I would point them to. If they have some specifics of where they want to go, I would point them to that. But if they don't have real specific goals of what they want to accomplish, then I will try to think through where is a place, and it can be back in their, my goal is to try to get them out of Oklahoma if they can be in a place where they really are continuing to grow. I think we expose them to some people to have them start thinking, should I go somewhere else? Is God calling me to relocate to a different state or a different type of goals, but to let God work in their heart and not to, for me not to make that their goal. And also, I don't know, I think with girls it is a lot harder for them to, on their own, make a decision to go very far from home. And I don't, like, very few girls will go to California unless they're real strong, if they are from Oklahoma. And so to take them out there and let them visit California and let that be an option, but let God really work in that. So my goal is not to try to get them somewhere specific unless there's specific things they do want to accomplish there.
Yeah. It seems like students, they want to do something bigger and more adventurous than what they came out of, but they also like things that are comfortable. And so you can kind of appeal to the adventure and help them to kind of see, yeah, you could make that kind of decision. You could go somewhere where you're not familiar and plug in.
For some of our campuses, it's a marketing problem. Like at OU, you know, Harold Bullitt comes up and speaks every semester, and they have the big Mo there, momentum, because they've got people going down there for years, so it just kind of perpetuates itself. Well, no one's ever gone to Hope Baptist from K-State that I, yeah, maybe one or two. And so I have to go from ground zero. So I have a marketing problem at K-State. They don't at OU. It kind of just does itself. Now, they have to take the time to talk to people, but they have momentum, and they have people on their staff that are from Hope, and Harold comes up and talks. And so, you know, it kind of just rolls along. I mean, people every year are interested in going to Hope, whether they think about it or not. And that's not true at K-State. I have to start from ground zero every year. And so what I have to struggle with is, gee, how can I market this thing? And how, you know, and they are interested. Like John mentioned, you know, they do have home roots. They like the farm in western Kansas and the small school system in northern Kansas. And that's nice because they grew up in a small place. And I'm kind of struggling with that whole deal of how to market San Francisco and L.A. and Fort Worth. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Karen?
One aspect of the question would be, how do you deal with their vocational calling and coordinate that with fulfilling the Great Commission? Because now that we're in the heartland of Bob, you are too. I mean, there isn't a lot of farmers around urban area, I mean, like in the LA area. And so if that's their vocational calling, then do you say, well, that's not, you know, that the Great Commission needs to be foremost on your mind and you should relinquish your vocational calling? Or how do you balance those two things? You know, I mean, there are places in the Midwest that you could focus them in on, like you're starting a church and we started a church and that kind of thing, but you know, I think part of the question needs to be, well, how do you deal with their vocational calling and the job market?
And that's a crucial question. It really is. And it seems like it's getting a little more crucial as jobs are becoming scarce, more scarce. There's a lot of competition for what jobs are available. And interviewing is becoming an art. 15 years ago, people, you know, engineers at K-State, they might go to interviews, they might not. They had a job starting high salary whether they went to interviews or not. It didn't matter. Now, a guy with a 3.8 in electrical engineering may or may not get a job. And K-State's one of the best engineering schools in the country. He's not assured of a job at all. And so that tense, their availability to go anywhere. Now, you say, well, it's a lordship issue and all that, and that's true, but that is a weight that's a part of the process.
And part of that is, it goes back again to where our role needs to be to facilitate what the Lord has for them and not trying to write out a script for them. So like we have a student at Hope right now, an alum of the OU ministry, and he got Fort Worth, had a job with General Dynamics, and before Christmas, he got there in the summer before Christmas, he's laid off and still has not found employment. And
that brother's flourishing. He's walking with the Lord and really going on and interviewing pretty much like crazy. But he needs to know that God called him to come to Fort Worth, because if he felt like Max had pushed him there, he'd have a lot of reasons to be real bitter with Max right now. But he knew that the Lord had called him, and he's doing well with it. So I think with that, we can't work it out for him. What we can help do is more or less just write out pros and cons. Here's the pros and cons for your own development. Here's the pros and cons for your own vocational enhancement or getting a job. Now, we've made mention of this, and I wanted to say something about this at Hope. I think for 8 or 10 years now, we have, for the OU ministry, had a seniors weekend. A couple of years we had them, 2 in a year. There in February, and some of the leading ministry seniors and the ministry at OUBSU come down to Hope for a weekend. The goal of the weekend being to help them to think through the transition from what it's going to mean to walk with the Lord and minister on a college campus to walking with the Lord and ministering in the community. The goal is not to recruit people to Hope. And again, there was some students that got real offended because we didn't recruit them, and they felt like we should have recruited them. We don't. But it's to help them think through that. We've done that with OU Ministry, and we've done it for several other ministries. If there's a way we could do something like that for your groups, I know for some of you guys that'd be some drive, but Larry brought a group from Michigan one time, so... if there is a way that we could help you with that, not to get them to Fort Worth forever, but just for a weekend to help them think through the transition, if you can get it scheduled and we can get it scheduled, we'd be glad to help you with that. Karen?
When you're in a ministry position, you might know what conferences are good and where they're going next and that kind of thing. So if you keep up your list like Bob suggested, then you know, you can recommend, well, hey, this conference is going to be an hour or two away from you, maybe with your life. So.
Yes. Maybe we talked to this guy and said, oh, how'd you hear about this? Well, Max sent me a letter.
Yeah.
He was up in Omaha. Max sent me a letter about the conference.
You know, another thing, too, is a factor is not just where they continue to grow, but where is a needy place. You know, I think that's an important factor. We've been given so much. A lot of these kids have had 4 years of just excellent growing time, and yeah, they need to keep growing and learning and all that, but you know, where are some real needs? There's needs everywhere, but you know, as I think through, put into my computer what I want to communicate with a student, I want to say, well, hey, can you see some real needs in that community or that mega city or that area of location? We sent a fellow to Chicago recently. Robert Getty called a few years ago and asked if we had someone that loved international students, and we did. And he could see tying into that need to reach internationals or second-generation Koreans up there. And that's what lit his fire. Yeah, he's still growing, but he saw the need. That's what rose to the surface.
And students do need to understand that after a point, their growth occurs as their ministry. You know, as they're pouring out their life for others, like in Isaiah 58, that's how the Lord waters them, is through that process. And that's right. When they come to some ministry situation, again, they need to come saying, this is a place I can contribute, I can give. Now, it may mean setting up chairs for a meeting, you know, or it may mean doing English as a second language or whatever. But where can I go to give? And through that I'll receive.
John, you made a statement about there's some things that you can do, you know, to help them communicate with parents.
Mm-hmm.
What you guys learn some things that for those who, you know, who are willing to go, feel like God's leading them to go halfway around the country or whatever. You guys learned some things that really has helped you in helping them communicate with their families.
Okay, helping them communicate with their families about moving to a different location after graduation. Linda, do you have any thoughts on that?
I really don't.
Okay. John?
I have a thought.
Okay.
Something that my wife was having a struggle with, and her Fisher appears to have a struggle going to California. You know, we were in Florida, Atlanta, that we did an event. And so Harold made a suggestion to us. And he says, well, just talk with your parents a lot about China. And California will sound good.
Yeah. Talk to them about China and California. That's...
You know, another thing is that I encourage students early on, when they begin to grow, I say, now, when you go home, you need to plant little tiny
yes.
seeds.
That's right.
Hey, boy, I'm growing to love the Lord, and I don't know where God may want me to move after graduation, but I just want to follow Him. And, you know, don't mention going to L.A. or San Francisco or somewhere totally... you know, that's the end of the world to a Kansan. But start kind of indoctrinating them, so to speak. And I think you serve them that way rather than springing something on them at graduation.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And I think all along encouraging a responsible relationship with their parents, where they're being responsible in their studies and their use of money, things like that, so that when they begin talking about, I'd like to move here after graduation, the parents won't just read that as, well, here's another flaky idea, you know. But they'll see a student who's growing in maturity and is learning to make some mature decisions. Jeff?
If I can just make a statement.
Yes.
Reiterating what Kevin was saying, that...
I better not be political.
Yeah. Well, there goes my statement. My boss is here. That the way I understand discipleship is it's maturing in faith in Jesus Christ and growing in that faith. But there's also in understanding the aim, part of the aim of growing in Christ is becoming part of His global cause and purpose in the world. And that's where I think maybe it could be the objective of some better networking, because there are a lot of like-hearted church planters out there. Mm-hmm. That your students have marketable skills that can get jobs. They have a network within the marketing community, and they can assist in how to interview in those areas. I think that's what John was kind of talking about. There are some great institutes of higher learning, grad schools like University of Michigan and Michigan State and USC, where you have like-hearted men who that person who's been through a discipleship ministry, they've learned, maybe their junior or senior year, they've started discipling other students, could be the greatest shot in their arm for a church, for campus ministry, to plug their lives in there for a year or two. And like Karen was saying, how do you balance the vocational calling and ministry calling? Well, maybe the balance in is seeing that as one call, that God has gifted me with a marketable skill so I might also become part of someone's vision or ministry in an area around the country. And that's a statement I'd like to make to encourage that our students are always seeing discipleship as not just... it's a way for me to grow in Christ, but it's a way for me to grow in Christ so I can catch His vision for a world that He died for. And I'm becoming that global cause and that global purpose of Christ. So.
Well, our time's up. I hope it's been helpful. And if we haven't gotten to the point of practicality yet, if there's any way that any of us can be practical helps to you, we'd be glad.